We're also going to be taking a break from the book of Acts this morning. I actually had a sermon ready, but the content of that sermon just didn't seem to fit the moment. And so this week really has been all coronavirus, right? And it seems to be spreading, but there's something else that's also spreading in our culture, and it's anxiety and it's fear. It's contagious, right? And so this morning I want to speak to the fear. I want to speak to the anxiety that maybe you might be feeling. I know I've been feeling. And so anxiety really is just as contagious as the coronavirus. And so this morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 20. And so if you have your Bible, you can be heading that way. It's on page 456. And I also want to mention that a lot of the content from this sermon is from a book called Running Scared by Ed Welch. Well, let me pray. Father, as we come to your word this morning, we confess to you that we need your help to understand what you have written and what you have given to us. We ask that by your Spirit you would illuminate this text. And Lord, we pray that we would see the peace that is on offer in Christ. We need your peace, and it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, as we get going this morning, I want to say this real quickly. Life is filled with uncertainty, and this uncertainty causes anxiety. But God is our rescuer, and he is also our peace. This is always true. And sometimes the pressure of life, it can feel like too much, whether we're talking about a job situation, whether we're talking about family conflict or raising kids or living in a time when there is a worldwide pandemic and fear and anxiety keeps spreading and we can't even get a roll of toilet paper at Walmart, right? And so what we're going to see this morning is that Psalm 20 was actually written for uncertain times. It was written for those times in our life when we are just full of anxiety and we can feel it in our racing thoughts, our mind is racing, or maybe you have a fluttering chest, or maybe it feels like a gut punch to your stomach. And the psalm is written for times like today. And I just want to say that Psalm 20 and Psalm 21, they're actually two psalms that can and should be read together. We're going to be looking at Psalm 20, though. These psalms, they're unique in that they're meant to be sung by Israel on behalf of their king and on behalf of their nation. And so Psalm 20 is a prayer for the day of battle. I can't think of anything more uncertain than like going into battle. The battle is a time of great uncertainty, a time of great stress. Imagine the anxiety that you might feel like heading into battle. Well, Psalm 21, it's a prayer of thanksgiving for winning the battle. And so Psalm 20, that's like before the battle. This is the prayer before the battle. Psalm 20 is the prayer after the battle. God has done his thing and he has rescued. And so you can just probably imagine the anxiety that the people must have been feeling in Psalm 20. The victory, it hasn't happened yet. The rescue hasn't been made. It's a time when some would die, others would live. They don't know if they're going to win the battle and conquer the other enemy or if they're going to be conquered themselves. So you can imagine the feelings of uncertainty that must have been felt. And what we see actually in this psalm is a great model for how we can engage with God during uncertain times. So let me read the psalm, and we'll just walk to it briefly together. Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. It's God's word. So, if you remember that the psalm, it's for a time of great uncertainty, going to battle. The battle is about to happen. They don't know what is going to happen. People are going to die, and they don't know who. And so you can feel the anxiety. They're crying out to God. And in the psalm, we get a clear picture of how we can actually approach God during times like we're experiencing today. So the question that we're going to be answering from this psalm is this. How should we respond during uncertain times? That's the question. And God's word right here actually gives us the answer. We get a little bit of a model. And so the first thing that we should do is this. We should turn to God. We see this in the first five verses. This is how it begins. And so when the world feels uncertain, what we should do is we should turn to God. And so as we're looking at this, I want you to notice the pronouns he and we and you and I in the psalm. It keeps changing. And so sometimes the psalm says, we shout for joy, like you see in verse 5. And so you think lots of people are talking. And then other times it says, you'll see, I know that the Lord saves. And so what's going on? Who's the speaker? Is it we? Is it you? Is it I? What's going on? Well, it appears that this psalm is actually a responsive reading. And so when you see the pronouns we, then this is actually the congregation of Israel crying out to God on behalf of their king. And then when you see the pronoun I, this is the key to know that the king is now talking. It's an individual. It's like when the pastor reads something and the congregation responds, kind of like what we do during call to worship each week. This is what's happening here. It's a responsive reading. And so in the first five verses, we see the congregation is speaking. And in this section, the congregation is addressing the king with a prayer that God will answer his prayers, that God will help in battle, that God will protect from enemies. That they're begging God to send help. They're begging that God would support the king. Well, here's what they're doing. They are turning to God with their uncertain times. They're bringing to God their anxiety, and this is how they're responding in anxiety. This is their response as they're about to go into battle. They've run to God. They've asked God for help. And let's be honest. Like, this is a different sort of response to the one we usually come up with, right? Right? I mean, here's what I do. Well, like when times are uncertain, when I don't know what is going to happen, I play all the scenarios in my mind and then I imagine what I could do to fix the situation. Or I think of things that I could have done to make the situation better. I find myself just fixated on the past, like wishing that I would have done the right thing or done that thing better. Or I imagine conversations that I need to have. I dream of things that I could do and places I would go ultimately so that I could be my own rescuer, so that I could be my own help. Or I began hashing it out with someone or with a group. And in doing this, what I'm actually doing is I'm passing my anxiety to other people because, as I said earlier, anxiety, it's contagious. And then I would see that the problem was actually bigger than me, or the problem was bigger than us, and I can't control what is happening, and so my anxiety levels, they go up, and then I just start all over again at the beginning of this process. Do you ever do this? Actually, I think we all do this. This is what we tend to do. It's the normal response that we all have because all of us want to control our own lives, and we want to control our own destinies. It's actually, this is why people are running to the store and buying a bunch of toilet paper, trying to control a situation. They're anxious. They're looking for a solution. It's why we keep watching the news and looking for the latest information in days like today. It's why we have trouble not talking about what is going on right now. We've got some anxiety and we need to share that anxiety with someone else. And here in this psalm, we see something entirely different. We see a people who are on the brink of disaster. They're going into battle. They don't know what's going to happen. And so what do? They run to God for rescue and for help. So let me ask you. Do you sometimes feel like your marriage is on the brink? Like you don't know what's going to happen? It was harder than you thought it was going to be. Is your business failing? Are your kids in serious trouble? Are you wondering what life is going to be like in light of all the recent developments and like how long are we going to be in this cycle where we're not allowed to go to school or go to work or do whatever? Are you fearful of all the doomsday predictions that are out there? Aren't you fixated on that? And you're acting like these predictions are actually the reality. If we're honest, like with or without the coronavirus, all of us, we have really good reasons to be anxious. We do. It's really easy to find areas in your life that are uncertain. Relationships, they don't always last. We don't always have enough money. Sometimes we're wondering how we're going to pay the bills. And death, it's a fact of life. And sometimes disease sweeps through a city or the world and we can't control it. There is always trouble out there. And there is always uncertainty. We like to pretend that it's not so, but this is always the case. And what our anxiety does is it serves as like an alarm bell. It should wake us up. It should actually drive us to God and beg Him for help. When we get anxious, we should be reminded that, you know what? I am not in control of my life, and I need His help, I need His rescue, and I need His salvation. You see, God can actually use anxiety as a reminder for us that, you know what? We're not in control of our lives. We're not in control of the situation as much as we would like to believe that were the case. But anxiety does something else for us as well. The things that we are anxious about, the things that we are worried about in our heart, they actually show us the things that we value. And so in every situation, when we feel out of control, where we think something bad might happen and we are trying to control our world to keep the bad stuff away, what we're doing is we're telling ourselves that we need something. We're telling ourselves that we want something that we don't have, or it shows us the thing that we're longing for, the thing that we have to have. The things we worry about, like our anxieties, they actually reveal what our heart values most. It shows us what our hearts are chasing after. Our anxiety, without fail, shows us what we actually care about in this life. So if you're single, do you find yourself wondering if you'll ever get married and you're just like worried about it, you're fixated on it? Or your good health? Or the health of someone you love, you're fixated on it? Or your comfort and your ease, like you need life to be comfortable and you need it to be easy, and in this time you're worried about the next few weeks of childcare and no school for the kids, and you're used to the kids being at school and now they aren't, and you're that comfort and that ease during this time, it's being taken away, and it's causing great anxiety on a lot of people. When these things like don't go our way, when the things that we're longing for, when they don't go our way, what do you do? I mean, we tend to just panic. Here's how this works. Imagine you are facing real, imminent danger. Like it's real. You think you might lose your job, the business that you're working for, it's failing, and everything points to like no job in 3 months. you are doing the math and this is what you see. You've got a family, you've got a mortgage, you've got a car payment. How do you respond? Do you run to God and do you express to God that, you know what, you've provided for me all my life. You've been my provider. Do you trust him because he's provided for you in the past? Do you trust him to provide for you in the future? Or do you just erase God from your memory? And when we do this, we become full of worry. We start grumbling, and sometimes that leads to bitterness. See, in this scenario, your heart isn't looking to God for care or for provision. And now imagine that you aren't facing any real danger. So there's no real danger. But you're going to a party, you're going to a social situation. You don't know very many people, you don't know who's going to be there. And so you find out that you're worried and anxious because you don't know who's going to be there. And so you're imagining yourself in the corner of the room, looking at everyone, having a good time, except for you. And so you're finding that you're worried about exclusion, you're worried about rejection, you're worried about being ignored. What this shows is that you are a person that longs for approval. You want people to accept you. You need people to notice you. You really shouldn't be anxious about the party, but you are. How do you deal with that? You see, in both situations, our anxieties reveal what's going on in our heart. It's like opening up our chest and seeing what we long for and what we desire. And so think about this. How do you respond when you don't get what you want? Or when you get something that you don't want? When something comes into your life and you didn't want that, do you run to fear and anxiety, or do you run to God and beg for help? The psalm here is giving us a wonderful model. It's giving us a great picture of what it looks like to run to God in times of uncertainty and anxiety. And if you don't have words to pray, the scripture has given you words to pray. Look at the requests that the people make. These are the requests that we should be making right now as we're stepping into uncertainty as a society. Look how we run to God. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Pray for protection. May he send you help. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Ask God to remember you, to not forget you. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. This is how we approach God. These are the cries of an anxious people crying out to their God. This is how we approach God when we're full of fear. These people, they want God to act on their behalf. And notice they don't tell God they're going to fight bravely. They don't tell God that they're going to give everything that they have to give to make sure that their team can win or they'll get the right result. They know that they can't save themselves from this trial. They know that they are helpless, so they put all of their hope to the rescuing power of God. And all of us can do the same. We can come to God for help. We need to know that we can't rescue ourselves. We've never been able to rescue ourselves. But we can be confident that he will rescue. Now look at how the psalm continues in verse 6. It says, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand." And so notice how the voices change in this verse. The first five verses spoke using we, now it's I. And so this is the king of Israel talking as a response to the people of Israel. But I want you to notice that the king is certain. He's certain that God will save. There's no uncertainty there. He knows that God will save. And so this is actually what faith looks like when times are uncertain. You see, if David responded to the circumstances in his life with the words of these Psalms, if he had that kind of certainty, then guess what? Then we can respond in the same way. We can have that same sort of certainty. So just as David was sure that God would save him, so we can also be sure. And this is a wonderful resource for us when we're facing uncertainty in life. And as we're stepping into a few weeks of chaos and uncertainty, what do? We go to what is certain. We step onto what is solid. We look to what is dependable. This is what David's done, and this is actually the second point. During times of uncertainty, what we do is we can remember God's promises are sure. And so what I'm saying here is that when we are filled with anxiety, when we have uncertainty, what we need to do is we need to park our minds on what is true. Instead of running through all the scenarios, instead of trying to predict the future, we remember what is true. David Powlison, in a book all about anxiety, says this. He says, anxiety is full of lies. What are some of them? First, you believe the world needs to be under your control. That's the first lie. When you're anxious, you think you need to have all the control. The second is that you begin to think that the world is out of control. And then third, you imagine that your worry will get it under control. But the truth is that this is God's world. He has it under control. And so it's vital that we turn our minds to what is true, and what is true is actually from God because it's His world. And what is most comforting during times of anxiety and uncertainty are the wonderful promises that God is our rescuer. He is our salvation. Look at a wonderful promise in the New Testament, in Philippians. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise. This is where we go. This is a resource for us. God actually commands us to not be anxious. He wants us to make our needs known to Him. And when we do this, what does He do? He gives peace. And this should bring us great assurance while we are facing uncertainty. We can have peace. We can. But we have to get to a place where we only trust God and nothing else. Not ourselves, not some plan, but God. Look at the next two verses in our psalm. Verse 7. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, talking about the horses and the chariots, but we rise and stand upright. And so these verses, they actually get to the heart of the matter for us when we're facing uncertainty in our lives. The verb that is translated as trust is getting at the people's commitment to God, and there's a strong contrast to being made between those who trust in God and those who trust in other things. You see, the psalm is talking about the opposing nations. The people that don't know God, they put their hope in chariots and horses. They're placing their trust in the most advanced and effective form of warfare available in that society. And so these chariots, they were ironclad, they were horrible weapons. They were pulled into battle by huge ironclad war seasoned horses. It was terrifying if you're facing these things. They could break up enemy lines. They could tear through masses of troops, leaving only destruction in their path. They would cause armies to collapse and fall. So don't miss the statement. Their trust is in God, not in those things. And they are confessing that victory doesn't rest on who has the most horses or who has the most chariots, but on the power of God. They are trusting God more than their horses or chariots. That their hope, it's not in their own power, it's not in their own strategy, it's not in their plans. Their hope is on God. And the psalm says that trusting in anything but God will actually cause your life to collapse and fall. Those who trust in chariots, they collapse and they fall. But we rise and stand upright. And so it's the same today. We can trust God. This is our third point. And so think about this. Just for a few minutes. What are the chariots and horses that people trust today? What are the things that people are putting their hopes in today? Or another way of putting it. What is in your life that makes you feel safe? What do you run to make yourself feel like you have it together, like you're in control? You know how to get to that thing? Ask yourself this question. What is that one thing that I need to have to feel okay? To calm me down? To help me not feel anxious? You know what I've discovered about me, and I've shared this before? There tends to be one thing that I long for more than other things. Like even today. Even today, as like society's going through this thing, there is one thing that I long for more than everything else. It is approval from others. Well, I need other people to like me, and I feel safe and I feel secure when others like me. And guess what? Not everybody likes me. And so when I discover that someone doesn't like me or somebody doesn't like something that I've done, it can be a crushing blow in my life. I begin to not feel peace. I get anxious. My life crashes and falls. Remember the psalm? It says, chariots and horses collapse and fall. It's the same thing for me. When I constantly seek approval from others, eventually it's going to collapse and fall around me. And it's the same for you. Whatever it is that you trust in more than God, it will collapse and it will fall around you. In fact, it'll fall on your own head. And so what about you? How do you answer that question? What is the one thing that I need to have to be okay? Is it a vaccine? Is it being safe from all of the sick people? Or maybe you're one of those that isn't worried about what's going on right now, and there are plenty of those. Maybe you're in that category. Maybe you're concerned about career success or personal comfort. Maybe you need your kids to be doing just right. Like, you have to have the perfect kids, and if you don't, then you're not doing okay. You have to be the perfect parent. Do you tell yourself that you always have to do the right thing or say the right thing to be okay with yourself? I could go on, but these are all things that we tend to run to for assurance. These are the idols that live in our hearts, and these tend to be our chariots and horses that we trust. And so this morning we've seen that life is filled with uncertainty that brings anxiety, but God is our rescuer and peace. And so as we are living in uncertain times, and we are, as people are catching anxiety from the news and from their friends, and as we're passing that anxiety to others, I want to ask you this. What are the chariots and horses that you are putting your trust in? Think about it. In the New Testament, there's a wonderful promise that brings great clarity for us this morning. It's in Romans 8. It's tucked in there. It's one we all know. It's a promise that we need. It says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. That this is a promise that we should hold on to. And this is a promise that should give you great comfort for today. Why? Because whatever is happening in your life, God is working it for good. That the verse rests on the sovereignty of God. It doesn't rest on your sovereignty or my sovereignty. It rests on the sovereignty of God because God is sovereign and because God is good and because you are his child, you can trust that all things, whatever is going on, it will be worked out for good in your life. Even a pandemic. So the promise, it doesn't teach that we'll never face sickness or death. It doesn't say that the coronavirus isn't coming to our town, but it teaches that we don't need to fear the circumstances of life, even today. Why? Because God is in control. He works good for us in every circumstance. He'll bring us safely home. Even death is not the last word. And so what we all need is Jesus. He's our shelter. He was our biggest need yesterday. He's our greatest need today. We're going to need him tomorrow. Why? It's because he has fought the great battle of death. And you know what he did? He won. And we can rest in that victory. He has paid your sin penalty. And he gives all of his people his peace. You see, the gospel of Jesus is the answer to your anxiety problems. He is your help. Our help comes from the Lord. And so may we say from the bottom of our hearts that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, We thank you for your help during uncertain times. Lord, we confess that we are not sovereign, we are not in control, even though we'd like to be, and that just causes anxiety. And so we confess that you are sovereign. Lord, we pray that we would rest in your sovereignty. We thank you for the wonderful truth that though horses and chariots and our efforts will fail, you will never fail. Lord, help us trust you more than anything else. And let us know your peace. And it's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.